One of the things which is nice is a lot of them no longer have to work. So they can get involved in all sorts of stuff. And it's a lot easier to get involved in stuff. And you could travel more because you have money that you didn't have before. And also, generally speaking, and I'll speak for where I am right now, you don't have to do chores anymore.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. An Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. Anne will also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hello, it's Anne Nelson, your host for today's show. Today's guest is Chuck Bolotin, and he has a background in economics. So he's used to looking at numbers, and he was interested in finding a better place to live for less money and started to look for websites for information about places to retire overseas. And he was unhappy with the results he was getting, so he decided to create a website, a platform, where people could come and get credible information about living overseas before he actually went overseas himself. Welcome to the show. Today I have Chuck Bolotin from Best Places in the World to Retire. How are you going, Chuck?
I'm doing great, Anne. How about yourself?
I'm enjoying myself. It's a nice sunny morning here. I live in far north Queensland, so I live in a tropical location, and we're starting to get into the part of the time of the year when it starts getting hot, living in the south of the equator.
We are exactly the opposite. As I'm talking to you, I'm looking over Lake Chapala at about 5,000 feet elevation in the Mexican Highlands. I'm seeing a volcano in the distance, and it'll be about 75 degrees a day at the end of the rainy season.
Ah, so does it get very cold where you live?
Well, we do know because we're not too far from the, well, we're closer to the equator than the United States. And if we went down to the beach, it would be very hot. But the advantage that we have over here in the Mexican Highlands is we're at a good amount of elevation. We're at a little over 5,000 feet. And what a lot of people don't realize is a good amount of Mexico is at elevation. So it's not as hot. And we have the additional advantage over here near Lake Chapala, and we are on the largest lake in Mexico, so that further moderates the temperatures. So we have the benefits of everything. We have everything from tropical plants to cactus over here, and it all grows great.
Sounds idyllic.
It's really, really nice. I must tell you, it's very nice.
So does that mean you don't need air conditioning or heating?
The houses don't even have it. No air conditioning, no heating, not necessary.
What about a ceiling fan?
Ceiling fan would be nice to have. Most of the houses don't have them. It's generally not necessary.
Right. So you've done something different in that you've only recently retired overseas, but you've been talking about it and have built a website to do with retiring overseas a fair time before you retired. So why did you go down that path?
And I should mention that we're not exactly retired.
Ah, okay. So
we've got the website Best Places in the World to Retire, which we started about, let's say, 3 years ago for exactly that. It was an interest that I had, given my background in economics and also just getting a little bit older. It's always sort of fascinated me that you could live in a better place for less money and to see how that worked and why it was. So sort of out of a personal interest, started the site. We started with Panama. Then we added Nicaragua, Belize, and Portugal. And now we're doing Mexico. And the way that we constructed the site is we had never gone to any of these places or been to any of them. And that was intentional. We wanted to let the people who had actually been there be the stars, give them a platform to be able to tell people what it's like. And that's exactly what happened. We have over 500 contributors to the site, almost 10,000 questions that have been answered about living abroad. And I'd say 97% of it has nothing to do with us whatsoever.
It's very interesting that you've done that. So how many people have you helped?
Don't know, because we don't do the helping directly. We just have the platform, and we allow people who know what they're talking about to answer questions. Some of them are vendors. Many of them are not. They're just expats. Multiple people can answer the same question. So there's a good perspective. And we get in the average of about 120,000, 130,000 page views a month. We started with zero, and that's growing very rapidly, especially now.
Wow. That's good numbers. So how many contributors do you have then that are living the dream, I suppose you would call it?
We have over 500 contributors. And you started to ask me a little bit earlier about our story. We had never lived abroad for any length of time and really hadn't even done a lot of traveling. But after reading the answers and interviewing all these expats, we figured, well, we might as well try it ourselves. So a little over a year ago, we got in a large white van with our two dogs, sold our house, gave away or sold most everything else or put in storage, but we couldn't put in the van, and we hit the road. And we've been traveling for a little over a year.
So you're on the move, are you?
Not anymore. We found a place that we like. But a year ago May, we crossed the border in a little town called Mexicali in California. Crossed over into Baja. And we've been traveling. We went down all the way through the Baja Peninsula, which is spectacular. Been to some gorgeous beaches with essentially nobody there. We took the ferry across. We went through the Mexican highlands, the Puerto Vallarta, the place we are right now, all the big expat locations, all the way down to Cancun, which your listeners, I'm sure, have heard of, and all the way down to the Belizean border. And we did it knowing very little Spanish and really having very little idea of what we were doing. And that was on purpose. And we've had a great time, man.
And who have you been mixing with? Are you mixing with a lot of expats, or I suppose you already knew a few through your website?
We knew virtually none. We're going to expat areas, so we meet people there. But most of the areas that are, you want to call expat areas, it's a mixture. I'll give you an example. The place that we're living in right now, it's a gated community. It's got tennis. It's got Olympic-sized pool. There's classes. Everything else, like I said, overlooking the lake. And I'd say it's about half and half. There's about half the people are expats and half are not. They're Mexicans. Of the people that are expats, I would say about half are American, maybe 20-30% are Canadian, and the rest would be a mix. There's a lot of Europeans that are here as well.
Right. And since you've had the website and in your travels, do you feel that it's mainly about the money? It's because of the cost of living that people are moving to these places, or are there other reasons?
I think if you only move because of the money, you'll be unhappy, because the other things will bother you too much. Things that you're not used to, maybe the infrastructure is different. Maybe people don't show up when they say they're going to show up. The language may be different, so on and so forth. However, if you keep that in mind, and if you look at everything on balance, it's very compelling to be able to have a very significant lifestyle upgrade, spending about half or less of what you were spending before. And there's a lot of pluses to that, and a lot of people take advantage of that. But you still have to have a good attitude. You still have to enjoy the place where you are. And there's a lot to enjoy. But if what you try to do is recreate your life in Australia or in the U.S. or Canada in another place that's just cheaper, you're probably going to be disappointed. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense, Anne?
Yes, it does make sense. Is it easy to get into these countries to stay there? You said you've been there a year, traveling for a year. Is it easy to get access to a country for that length of time?
Well, I can speak to the countries on our site, which are Panama, Belize, Nicaragua, Mexico, and Portugal. And all of them is very easy. And the reason is they want us there. They want us there. They want our money there. We provide jobs. We provide all sorts of things that they're not providing as much of to their own people. And we also do also, we, when I'm saying we as a group, expats, English-speaking expats, are extremely beneficial in general to the places they go. We tend to start charities. We tend to help out. We tend to be extremely good neighbors and be very beneficial to the places that we go. So they want us there, and they'll do everything they can. You know, Mexico, they'll give you a six-month tourist visa. Immediately after that, you get a tourist visa. Panama has special things for people who are expats. Belize has a whole special program that they're using, rather, to encourage people to come. And it's easy in Nicaragua as well. So they really, really want us. And it's not just the government. Generally speaking, the people could not be nicer, could not be more welcoming. And it's not just because of the money. It's also because, as I mentioned earlier, we as a group do a lot of good things. And they recognize that. And they really, really like us as a group. And they really, really want us there.
Right. Well, that's very interesting. So what sort of activities are expats getting up to in the new countries?
Well, one of the things which is nice is a lot of them no longer have to work. So they can get involved in all sorts of stuff. And it's a lot easier to get involved in stuff. And you could travel more because you have money that you didn't have before. And also, generally speaking, and I'll speak for where I am right now, you don't have to do chores anymore. And I'll just give you an example, and then I'll tell you some of the stuff that people are doing. We get our house cleaned here for 50 pesos an hour, which is equivalent of about $2. I'm talking American dollars. $2.76 an hour. That's what it costs.
Wow.
To have a gardener costs a little over $3 an hour. I just got a haircut today, and I pay a lot. It's going to be about $4. When you have all that, all the personal services, going to a doctor, maybe run you a podiatrist visit, maybe $15. When you have all the personal services that you can get, so inexpensive, you can take advantage of them. You could have them, which frees up a lot of time. So what do people do with that time? I just speak to where I am in the Mexican Highlands. I play tennis on the weekend. We have water aerobics classes here. There's a lake in front of us. There's a society here called the Lake Chapala Society where they play bridge. You can go kayaking. There's gorgeous hikes that you can go on. There's all sorts of cultural events. If you want to learn how to play the ukulele, you can do that. Uh-huh. There's people that have card clubs that they go to. There's gourmet cooking classes. There's, of course, learning to speak Spanish. There's learning to speak French. There's TED Talks that you can go to. There's other lectures you can go to. The movies here, if you want to go to a movie, it's about $2.50 to go to a movie. We have plays that people go to. Women learn how to belly dance. There's salsa. I'm sure I left out a whole bunch of stuff, but virtually anything you could think of, you can do here. Well, especially here because the weather's so nice all year round.
Yeah, I see.
And you can't go skiing and you can't go snowboarding. That's, you can't.
No snow. Well, I never see much of that either, so I'm not really looking for it. I don't think my wardrobe would stretch to any winter sports.
Well, you fit in fine here, Anne.
Well, it seems as though as we get older that we tend to want to live in a warmer climate. I know here in Australia we have the grey nomads that have caravans and camper vans, and they come north for the winter. So I assume in America, I believe you have snowbirds that go south for the winter down to Florida way. So it just must be something about needing the warmer climate.
I think there's a physiological reason. There's a lot of what we call here snowbirds. And those are people, a lot of times from Canada or the northern part of the U.S., who will come down, especially when it's miserably cold in the northern half, in the northern hemisphere, let's say anywhere from right about now to, let's say, they start leaving to go back sometimes around March. Some of them live here full time. We also have something else that some people will call sweatbirds. In the southeastern part of the U.S., Texas, Arizona, parts of California, certainly a good portion of the southeast, it's really hot during the summer. So people will actually come here. It sounds odd. People will go south, will go to Mexico, but they'll go to the highlands to get some very nice weather and get out of the oppressive heat and humidity. So we have both groups, and then we have people who stay here all year round.
Well, that's interesting. I haven't heard of sweatbirds before.
They've got them here. They come down from Texas, and a lot of them go to a place called San Miguel de Allende.
Is it safe living there in Mexico? We only ever hear the bad news about countries.
Yeah. Right along the border, probably not. But I would know that I would live right along the border with the United States. There are certain areas of the country where you don't really have expats, where maybe they're known to be drug cartel areas, where it's not going to be safe. There are certain parts of cities which are not safe and so forth. All that said, it is extremely safe in the expat areas. As long as you don't get involved in drugs or prostitution or gun running, you're not going to have a problem. And most of us don't, especially as we get older, right? So there are, as an example, where we are, there's single women in their 60s and 70s everywhere, by themselves, no problem. They even drive their cars back over 1,600 kilometers to the United States, no problem. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that everywhere we go. There's sort of two groups of people, you know, people who are aware of how safe Mexico is and they're enjoying it at extremely bargain prices. And that also goes for Panama, Nicaragua, and Belize, parts of Belize. Some parts are expensive. And then there's people who just believe that it's unsafe and they don't come. And that's what keeps the prices low. If everyone realized how safe it was and how nice it was, there'd be a lot more people coming.
Do many expats actually conduct businesses from where they are?
Some do. There's two different ways to do it. You can do it as a digital nomad. Do you know what that means, Anne?
I haven't heard the term, but I suppose you're talking about the internet.
Right. There are people who can be anywhere in the world as long as there's an internet connection, and it really doesn't make a difference. And there's becoming more and more people like that. Everyone from even, I call them headhunters, people that executive recruiters and so forth, all the way through programmers, writers, people that do graphics. There's all sorts of people that are digital nomads. And what they do is they go from place to place many times. And I don't know what the tax laws are in Australia, but in the United States, there is a part of the IRS code called the foreign earned income exclusion, which will allow these digital nomads, if they just follow some very simple rules, to pay zero income tax completely legally. So we're starting to see a lot of that.
Mm. So I assume that means then these are younger people. They're not necessarily over 50 looking at retirement.
They could be. There's people that have to work or choose to work after 50, and some of them will work on the internet. If they decide to work here in Mexico or Nicaragua or whatever, to get a job somewhere is usually not a great idea, because if you're competing against Mexicans or Belizeans or Nicaraguans or even Portuguese, they make it a little harder for you, first off, because they're looking after their own people in their own country, and they don't want you taking a job that a local could have. And they're, generally speaking, you're going to be competing against the local Mexicans for Mexican wages or the local Nicaraguans and so forth. So you're not going to usually make a lot of money. What many people do is they'll come down and start a business. And that can work out fine, especially developers and so forth. But usually, once again, if you open a restaurant or you open a flower shop, or you're going to be competing against the locals, and they don't make as much money as you. So I wouldn't plan on making a lot of money, generally speaking, if your business is catering to local customers. However, if you can make Australian wages and live abroad, you can live like a king. in many places. Because you're making, we would call it North American wages, or let's call it Australian or English-speaking wages in non-English-speaking countries, where the value of your money goes a lot further.
Well, that's very encouraging, because it's getting harder and harder to qualify for government pensions. I know in Australia, the age pension, they keep changing the goalposts, and they have income tests and asset tests, and I'm sure in the future it's going to get even harder again.
One would think so, because there's been a lot of promises made to the people in the industrialized countries that the governments cannot possibly fulfill. So it's not a question of, you know, are the benefits going to be reduced or drastically? It's just a question of when. And that's more of a political question than a financial question, because they just don't have the money. So for many people, they see that ahead of time, and they sort of preemptively move to a place where they don't need as much money. So as an example over here, we're spending significantly less than half of what we were spending in the States and living a higher quality life.
Yep, it sounds ideal. And that's something that we all have to look at, because you can either create more money, and if you've got the time and the energy and the knowledge beforehand, or you go somewhere like you're doing and living somewhere that's makes your money go further.
Right. You could do a little bit of both if you're a digital nomad, but many people, especially as they get past their 50s, will find it very difficult to get a job somewhere. And it's a little risky maybe to start your own business, because now you're investing money that if you lose it, you don't have a lot of time to make it back. I've talked to many people in these situations, and it's a nice alternative to be able to say, you know what, I'm just going to reduce my cost of living, but not reduce my lifestyle, and live abroad. And they're having it as a group and a great time.
And you sound like you've got excellent internet services there. I've got a clear voice from you today.
Yeah, it depends on where you are in Mexico. Nicaragua is going to be a little more difficult. Belize is horrifically bad for most of the country. But there are places in Mexico with great internet connection. Ours is average. It's not great. It's okay. It's okay for what we're doing. If I was a movie editor, I probably wouldn't be very happy here. But just talking on the phone, that's fine. And most places, certainly most places in the world, the internet keeps getting better and better. And I'll share this with you. I have cable here, and I pay $12.50 a month for it. That's it. That's what we're talking on.
Wow. Yep. Well, I'm interested. Yeah. So just before we finish, can you explain how your website works, so if people want to use your website?
Yes. So the name of the website is bestplacesintheworldtoretire.com. And the way that it's organized, Anne, is the way that people do research. So we have a question and answer area. We have the most entered in search terms by people into Google who are doing research into moving abroad. So they'll have the kind of questions on there that you asked. What's the cost of living? Is it safe? What's there to do? How do they treat women? So on and so forth. And it's answered by real expats who are living there. Generally speaking, multiple people answering the same question, which gives you a nice perspective. Then we also have expat stories, which after people sort of just get the facts of a place, they may want to hear, gee, what was it like when you moved? What was your experience like? And we have somewhere in the area of about 250 expat stories. We also have what's called a location advisor, where it's real time, online. You go onto the site, you put in what you're interested in, and it will make suggestions for you for the best places for you. We also have a Facebook page under the same name, Best Places in the World to Retire. And we have a whole bunch of YouTube videos, some of which are very funny, some which just show you what it's really like. And we just take our camera with us, and we've got YouTubes from all over Mexico. That's, once again, Best Places in the World to Retire.
Well, that sounds terrific. Best Places in the World to Retire. And are you planning on adding any more destinations?
Yes. We'll probably add Costa Rica, Ecuador, and then we will go over to your part of the, or relatively close to your part of the world, and we'll probably start adding some Southeast Asian countries or Southeast Asian places, maybe like Chiang Mai. A lot of people are interested in that, in Thailand and so forth. And we will make certain that people get credible, balanced information on those places as well.
Yeah, it seems like it's all the cool places on without being cold.
Yes. Well, you know, there's a lot to be said for near perfect weather. It certainly increases your enjoyment.
That's right. It certainly does. That's why I'll have to find somewhere else to retire to one day.
Well, if you're a digital nomad, you're welcome here. You could run it. No one would even know the difference, Anne.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, thanks very much, Chuck. It's been great talking to you today, and thanks very much for sharing your story.
My pleasure, Anne. It was a pleasure talking to you.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.